Matthew 6, verses 19 to 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
In the UK, we spent £74 billion on Christmas last year, and that is more than any other country in Europe. That's about £775 per household. Two-thirds of it is spent on presents and one-third on food and drink. Now, I don't know what you make of those figures, but I think that they are a symptom of the problem of materialism in our society today. And materialism, according to Wikipedia, is the excessive desire to acquire and consume material goods. So it's the accumulation of stuff, buying stuff. You know, buying stuff that we usually don't need, sometimes with money that we don't have, because we think that somehow it will make us happier. And that's what tonight's passage is all about, our attitude towards money and possessions. We're in the middle of a series on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is up on a mountainside teaching his disciples. And now he gets to the topics of money and possessions. And he warns them about the dangers of an unhealthy obsession with money and possessions and the effect that it can have on the heart. And his advice is just as relevant for us today as it was for his disciples back then. So let's have a look at the three main points. Raj, you want to bring them up? Nice one. So firstly, store up treasure in heaven because it will last. Secondly, your treasure affects your heart. And thirdly, you cannot serve both God and money. Firstly then, store up treasure in heaven because it will last. Let's read from verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So the advice is then to store up treasure in heaven, because it will last. Okay, so treasure on earth, I understand, that would be materialism. It would be buying excessive amounts of stuff, you know, clothes, gadgets, cars, houses, etc., in the hope that it will make us happy. But what exactly is this treasure in heaven that Jesus is telling us to store up for ourselves? I'd be very interested to hear what you sort of came up with on your tables, especially if it's different to what I tell you now. But it seems to me, that this treasure is some kind of reward in heaven for living in a way that pleases God. Now, I'm not exactly sure what form this reward will take, but we're given clues about how to obtain it, for example, from other verses in the Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12 say, if you're persecuted for being a Christian, you should rejoice, because great is your reward in heaven. Those people who suffer now for being a Christian are rewarded in heaven for their faithful service. And Matthew 6, verses 4 and 6 and 18, they say that if you give to the needy in secret, or if you pray in secret, or if you fast in secret, then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So those people are who are more interested in praise from God than they are praise from men. They will be rewarded for their deeds done in secret. So perhaps this treasure is a reward in heaven for the Christian who lives in a way that pleases God. Now, let me make one thing crystal clear. I'm not saying here that we can earn our salvation, earn our way into heaven by doing good deeds. The Bible is very clear that the only way to heaven is through faith in Jesus, by trusting in his death on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. But the Bible also teaches that there are rewards in heaven for Christians who serve God faithfully in this life. And the thing to note is that here Jesus is speaking to his disciples, to those who are already heading for heaven, who are already entrusting in him. So he's not teaching them how to get to heaven because they're already going there. Instead, he's teaching them about the reward they can build up when they get there. So Jesus is saying, Christian, don't chase after material possessions here on earth. Instead, live in a way that pleases God and build up a reward in heaven. And the reason that that is such a good idea is that treasure in heaven will last. Treasure on earth will not last. Verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. So, your house will crumble, your car will rust, your jeans will fade, and your iPhone will be stolen. That's the way it is. Everything has a best before date, and nothing is completely secure. So, you know, what's the point of storing stuff up here on earth? It's foolishness, really, if you think about it. But the treasure we build up in heaven will last forever. Verse 20, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Treasure in heaven is imperishable. It is indestructible. It won't decay. It won't rust. It won't rot. It is completely secure. It will last forever. So store up treasure in heaven because it will last. Anne and I have first-hand experience recently of moths and rust destroying because we are in the process of moving house. And we've been through our loft and sorted through all of our old treasures that we've been piling up there for years. I have still got almost every video game system I've ever owned up there. But what's the point, you know? Because it's all decomposing. It's all covered in some sort of horrible sticky dust for a start, and the plastic has gone yellow. My ZX Spectrum games, I don't know if you can remember back this far, they were on old cassette tapes, magnetic cassette tapes. And this is 30 years old, and I bet there's no way that this is going to work still. It's completely useless. Why did I ever bother storing it away? And Anne has still got her old cuddly toys. Here's one. Her favourite teddy, whose name is Favourite Ted. He's 41 years old. Can you believe it? He used to be pink and fluffy. But look at him now, you know. He's bald for a start. He's got no nose. And he smells a bit musty, you know. You wouldn't want to hug him anymore these days. So you see, even our most treasured possessions will wear out one day. So why bother spending our time and our money and our abilities building up all this stuff and building up treasures on earth if they're just going to fall apart? Instead, we should learn to hold on lightly to the things of this world, not to hold on to them too tight. And instead, we should invest our time and our money and our abilities in serving God, in living in a way that pleases him, and building up treasure in heaven that will last. Secondly then, your treasure affects your heart. This is from verse 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So your treasure affects your heart. If my treasure is on earth, then that is where my heart will be. You know, if money and possessions, if they're the most important things to me, I will learn to love them and cherish them. They will be dear to me. That is where my heart will be. It'll be focused on earthly things. But if my treasure is in heaven, that is where my heart will be. If living a life to please God is the most important thing to me, I will learn to love him and cherish him. He will be dear to me. And that is where my heart will be, focused on heavenly things. So your treasure affects your heart. Just as like a sunflower moves to focus on the sun, and just as a compass point moves to point north, so our hearts are drawn to where our treasure is. So we need to make sure that our treasure is in the right place, don't we? And Jesus is concerned with the state of our hearts. It's not just the case of, you know, you build up a load of treasure here on earth, you lose it eventually, oh well, never mind. No, materialism actually has a negative effect on our hearts, and it draws us away from God. Jesus goes on to illustrate this point in the next few verses. Verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So the eye is the lamp of the body. When I first read this, I thought, aha, you know, your eyes are lighting the way ahead in the darkness, so that you can see where you're going. Kind of like two torches. Sort of one on each eye, like that. Like car headlights, sort of lighting your way in the darkness so you can see where you're going. But on further reflection, I think it's actually the other way around. The torches are reversed and they're shining in. They're shining into the body and lighting up the body. If we could have the next slide. It's kind of like this picture of Grand Central Station. There we go. And like the body is the station, the inside of the body there is the station. And the windows are the eyes through which the light comes streaming in and lights up the station. It lights up the body. So the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So it's actually a similar point to verse 21. Just as your treasure affects your heart, so your eyes affect your body. The things that you look at affect your character. The things that you focus on, they affect you on the inside, I think. You know, you've heard the phrase, you are what you eat. Well, in this case, it seems to be, you are what you look at. So, if treasure on earth is the thing I look at, if it's the thing I'm focused on, then inside I will become greedy, I will become ambitious, selfish, full of darkness. But if treasure in heaven is the thing I look at, the thing I'm focused on, I will become generous, loving, kind, selfless, full of light. Bible commentators think that there's some wordplay going on here in the Greek. Apparently the word translated good in this verse can also mean generous. And a bad eye is a metaphor in the Bible for stinginess and jealousy. So the verses could be understood as saying, if your eyes are generous, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are stingy, your whole body will be full of darkness. So I think the point is that You know, being generous has a positive effect on your character, and being stingy has a negative effect on your character, until you sort of end up like Ebenezer Scrooge or something like that. So how should we apply this point? Well, we should listen to Jesus' warning. Our treasure affects our heart. You know, materialism is not just harmless. It actually has a negative effect on our character, and it can draw us away from God. And we should ask ourselves, where actually is my treasure? Where is my treasure? And if we want to know the answer to that question, we can use our hearts as like a useful compass to find out where our treasure is. So, where is your heart? What do you love the most? What is the first thing you think of when you wake up in the morning? And what is the last thing on your mind when you go to bed at night? What is the thing that is the most dear to you, that you couldn't bear to be without? And the answers to those questions may reveal to you what your treasure really is. So the third point this evening is, you cannot serve both God and money. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. It's just a single verse. It's quite simple, really. You cannot serve both God and money. It seems that we have just enough strength in us to serve one master and only one. But the trouble is, there are two masters here, God and money, and each one is demanding all of our time. We may sometimes think that we can serve both, but it can't be done. We will just end up resenting one or the other as they pull us in different directions. So let's imagine a guy, let's call him Steve, two jobs. And let's imagine he's got two jobs. He sits in a swivel chair, he's got two desks, one on his left, one on his right. He's got two computers, he's got two landlines, two mobile phones. And he's constantly swinging from side to side. He's writing an email, he's writing a report, he's answering a phone, he's answering his mobile, he's putting someone on hold, and he can't remember who he's supposed to be talking to when he picks up which phone. He's just getting dazed and confused. Maybe that sounds like a normal day at work for some of you. I don't know. But anyway, this guy, he wouldn't be able to keep it up. Sooner or later, there will come a day when both jobs demand his attention at the same time. So one would need him in Manchester to take a delivery or something, and the other would need him to be in Dover to meet a customer or something like that. And at that point, he'd have to choose one. And he would resent the demands of the other one on his time. So it is with God and money. They pull in different directions. They have different priorities and different goals. And when they clash, we will have to choose one, and we will resent the demands of the other. For example, if money is our master, we may want to gather as much money as possible to ourselves. And we will resent the call of God to be generous, to share what we have and to give to those in need. If money is our master, we may want to work long hours to secure that promotion. And then we will resent the call of God to spend time serving others and serving in the church. If money is our master, we may be tempted to keep hold of it by fiddling our expenses or dodging our taxes. And we will resent the call of God to be honest and to pay the tax due to the government. How can we apply this then? I think that one of the biggest dangers of serving money is that it can make us resent serving God. It's probably safe to say that, you know, most of us here are Christians, and we would say that God is our master, wouldn't we? In that case, money is a bit like a headhunter, you know, trying to recruit us to work for his company. You know, come on, why don't you come and work for me? you can keep your old job. I don't mind. And I'll pay you really well for it. And that might be tempting for us. But the danger is that as we pursue our new second career, we will start to resent our old master. We shouldn't serve two masters half-heartedly. We should serve one master wholeheartedly. We should choose one master and to love him and to be fully devoted to him. And we should choose God. God who created us. God who loves us and who rescued us. Who sustains us and blesses us. And not money. Money that promises much but delivers little. Money that is deceitful. Who provides an illusion of happiness but always leaves us unsatisfied in the end and wanting more. You know, everything that money can buy will perish, as we saw at the start, but the reward of God is as indestructible as he is. So let's keep our focus on God then, and not be distracted by money and possessions. Let's store up treasure in heaven, because it will last. Let's be aware of the effect that material things have on our hearts, and let's serve God wholeheartedly, because he gave everything for us. Let's pray as we finish, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for these warnings about the dangers of money and possessions and the effects that they have on our hearts. Help us to examine ourselves. Show us, Lord, where we need to change. Help us to be focused on heaven and to serve you wholeheartedly with the gifts and the good things that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.